Are you ready? The Cornelia Stephanie Show. Wake up to love, your call to action. Join Cornelia as she empowers others to live heaven on earth. Cornelia teaches listeners how to be the authority over yourself, embracing your inner guru. Feel yourself uplifted into limitless expansion, integrating ease and grace in a changing world. This show will cover topics such as unconditional love, your physical body, how to be in extraordinary relationships, create financial and emotional wealth, embracing entrepreneurship in the new earth.
Hello, everyone. Welcome to the Cornelia Stephanie Show. It's an honor and a pleasure today to bring you stories of hope. I have Heather McDaniel with me in the house, and I just want to introduce you to her before she shares an inspirational story with us about how we can love ourselves more, which all of us, no matter how much work we've done, can certainly practice that. Heather McDaniel is a fitness and nutrition coach who helps women over 40 train their bodies, hearts, and minds to live with confidence and joy. Heather is an expert in helping women live with renewed vitality so that they have the energy and confidence to create lives they truly enjoy. Heather currently resides in Santiago de Compostela, Spain, where she loves making hope and joy contagious. Welcome to the show today, Heather.
Thank you so much for having me on, Cornelia. I really appreciate it.
I love that you are making hope and joy contagious, because it is contagious, isn't it?
It is. Absolutely. And what I find is that when it comes from within,
yeah,
that you just can't help it but exude that and that for others and be that inspiration for others.
Yes, yes. So how did you get to, you were going to share a story with us today about the love for the self-love, the love for self, and how is that story unfolding?
The reason why I think that it's so important is because that's where everything begins. And the relationship that you have with yourself dictates pretty much almost everything else in your life. And that relationship, unfortunately, oftentimes it's based on old, tired programs, right? So I want to take you back to February of 2018. Mm-hmm. It's a cold, dark morning in Sevilla, Spain. And it's 4:00 in the morning. I'm at the airport with two duffel bags because that's all I owned at that point. That was it. Rewind a few months prior to that. I made my dreams come true. I was living in southern Spain. I was in a happy relationship, pretty much living the dream life, right? At least from the outside, that's how it appeared. But underneath the surface, there was a lot of anxiety, fear, self-sabotage, self-abuse that were based on old programs, thoughts, and beliefs. The old program told me that I was worthless, or that there was something wrong with me, that I didn't deserve the things that I had. And that led to anger, which led to self-hatred, which led to self-sabotage and self-abuse. And there was this conflict within me that, you know, you have the programs over here, but you have who you are here in your heart, right? And they were going at it. And I didn't know what the heck was going on. But I knew I couldn't identify what was happening inside, but I could certainly rage and react. And the thoughts would spin and I would get really overwhelmed. And next thing I know, I crash like a computer running on an old tired program. And in the end, the relationship disintegrated, the work deteriorated, I had financial issues that I had to deal with, and I had to leave Spain. That's what I was doing at the airport at 4:00 in the morning. And I was on the cusp of living that dream life. I pretty much blew it up, but what was happening just affirmed those old tired programs. They didn't align with my true self. And the thing to understand is that this wasn't just like an isolated incident. The pattern, I've come to realize, played itself out over time, over a period of years before that, you know, pretty much my whole adult life, right? And so on that cold, dark February morning, I knew I was going to return to live in Spain, and I was drawn to Santiago de Compostela. I don't know why, but something told me that's where I needed to be. And I made the vow to myself to make that happen. But I also knew that I needed to do something, because I needed to be free from that pain, from the anxiety, because I was pretty much powerless over it. So I sought help, got an awesome therapist to work with, helped me dig up some of the roots and start the healing process. But I also did the work. I got out my journal every single morning. I don't know if you journal, but over a period of years, like, I got the stack about yay big of journals, right? But I would use it as a tool to check in with myself. What am I feeling? What am I experiencing? And occasionally I'd get these nuggets of insight. I'd feel triggered sometimes, and I'd recognize it, and I would explore it and take it out my notebook. What is this about? And the process helped me uncover these old programs and get to the roots of them. And I would peel back layers, and I'd gain new awareness. And that would help me move forward just a little bit every day. So I continually did this. And I learned that somewhere early on, I got these messages that I internalized, and those messages turned into programs. They turned into thoughts and beliefs that dictated my adult life. And it kind of is like what happens to a computer, right? I mentioned that earlier about the computer crashing, but what happens is, like, you know, it's the operating system that you're running on. And if that's just running automatically, and a lot of the times we don't realize it. And that recognition empowered me to make different decisions, to see through different eyes, the eyes of who I truly am instead of the eyes of a scared five-year-old. It took years, but I started to see who I am and have the confidence to be that person. And I started to remind myself of the positive qualities that I have about myself, the sense of humor, energy, ability to take care of plants, the connection with animals, the little things. I started to appreciate those things about myself and remind myself that they exist. And 4 years after I started that journey of pouring that love into myself and learning how to do that, I was able to fulfill that promise that I made on that cold, dark February morning at the airport. So I live in Santiago de Compostela. You might know this as the end of the Camino de Santiago, the spiritual pilgrimage.
Yeah.
Well, the cathedral is next door to where I am. if I turn the camera around, you could probably see a corner of it.
That's cool.
But I'm probably one of the few people that moved here without doing the Camino. I like to say I took my own pilgrimage to get here.
Yeah.
And that's really what it was. It was the story of my own personal pilgrimage to transform the relationship that I have with myself by transcending those old programs and live the life that I'm meant to live and do it with the peace and the knowing in here.
That's beautiful. That's a beautiful story. So I have a question going back to February 4th. So I love how you said, I'm coming back.
Yeah.
And that you knew you were coming back, but that you had to go face now all those things. And
yeah.
So where did you go?
I was actually in Pennsylvania.
Okay. So did you?
Actually my family lives there. So like my sister was nearby, my brother was nearby. So, you know, I'm born and raised in New Jersey originally. So, you know, had family in the area. So it was nice to reestablish those relationships because I had been away for quite a while. Spend time with my niece and nephew and that sort of thing.
So that's cool. That's good to know, because, you know, when you are, you know, experiencing a dark night of the soul, like you obviously did, you know, now it's 4 o'clock in the morning, it's February, early February, and you're going back to a place where people are that love you and you have support.
Yeah.
This is what I meant to, you know, I wanted to find out where you were going back to, because you also mentioned that you had financial issues as well. Yeah. And, you know, with all the things, everything came at one time. And so, and then you said you then hired a coach, hired a person to help you look at some of those deep, dark programs that had been installed from your childhood, from the time you were a kid. So, you know, making an investment in yourself at that time, did you hire a coach right away, or did you hire a coach, you know, like months later?
It was about 6 to 8 months later, I think, after I got there. I think I reached a point where it's just like, I knew I needed to do something, but at the same time, I think I needed to do a little bit of the work on my own and just kind of figure out, because at the time I still didn't know what the heck was going on within me.
Okay.
Right. And so I think I had to be ready for it.
Yeah.
And that was one of the things that I noticed throughout the process, is that things would appear, you know, I would gain the new awarenesses when I was ready for it.
Yes. Yeah. You were ready to deal with it. You were ready to look at it. You were ready to see it. And I think it's just brilliant how you told this story today, because you know, when we are in a crisis, like obviously like you were, you thought you had your ideal life, you thought you had your ideal relationship, all the things. And then, you know, you were left with, oh, there's a war happening inside of myself. I don't think I love myself. I've got, you know, this war that you mentioned, the relationship that you have with yourself is the most important. And once you heal that, you can then bring that relationship to all the other things that you relate with in life, right?
Absolutely.
So it took a lot of courage to be willing to see it. And the beautiful thing is, when we become conscious and say, okay, we're ready to face the pain or whatever the separation has been, then we can heal.
Yeah. No doubt about it. And that's, to me, it's almost like you have to be, you know, it does take courage to take that step and to want to go there, because it's not an easy place to be.
Yeah. Yeah. So you're living back in Spain now.
Yeah. Yeah.
So tell me how many years ago it was when you came back to February 4th, when you were at the airport. And now you're back. How many years did it take for you?
4 years. It was 4 years. Yeah. So I was, so it was February 2018 when I left, and I returned January of this year.
So, you know, that is a huge victory celebration.
Yeah.
That, right? Because you took yourself back. You said, I'm coming back here. And, but then you came back whole. And loved and free.
Yeah. And I think what's the most interesting part is that I can enjoy being here.
Yeah.
Whereas the first time I was so wrapped up in what was going on that I couldn't really enjoy it.
Yeah. Yeah. Because you were preoccupied.
Yeah.
With all this internal stuff going on that you examined, that you couldn't really enjoy, because it's like it wasn't a matching reality.
Exactly. that's a great way to put it.
Right. It wasn't a matching reality. So it's like, oh, wait a minute. So are you now in a relationship again?
No. I'm single as can be and absolutely loving it.
Yeah. It's nice to be by yourself for a while so that you could really, you know, enjoy it. So let's tell the audience how they can look you up, where you are on social media. And let's let them know.
All right. So my website is IWFA.fit, and that stands for Invincible Women Fitness Academy. So again, IWFA.fit, and you can find me on Instagram at IWA.fitness, And if you look up Heather McDaniel, I'm sure you'll find me somewhere online too. So.
Oh, that's good. That's good. Well, I just think it's lovely how you've taken care of yourself, how you take care of yourself, the role model you're being. And we want to thank you so much for being on the show today.
Well, thank you again so much for having me. I really appreciate it.
Thank you. Thank you. We're going to take a break on the Cornelia Stephanie Show. We'll be right back. Everyone, come check out this new app I'm featured in. You're going to look for KS Media Group app in the App Store, download it, launch and create your free account, get the free ebook. You're going to find me under directories, click on resources of the world's best influencers, find me at the top of the list and take advantage of evolving your daily practice, cultivating deep inner peace, growing in love with my YouTube channel, and all the ways that you can connect with me now on social media and other ways as well. There's also a long list of live podcasts there that are listed under the directories to help you to live your best life now. Go and hurry. Get the KS Media app. Go to the App Store and download it now.
Take us with you on your morning commute. Download your favorite shows and listen anytime. Just visit transformationtalkradio.com.
Welcome back to the Cornelia Stephanie Show, everyone. I'm so excited about what we're getting ready to talk about next. Scott Colby is in the house, and he's going to inspire us with a very, very important message, and it has to do with gratitude. And I can't even think of anything more important right now than lifting our vibration and feeling grateful for what it is that we have in our lives, not for the things that are lost or that we're losing, but really lifting our vibration and feeling more grateful. After an eye-opening experience in Guatemala, during which Scott witnessed firsthand the power of gratitude, even in poor living conditions, he launched Say It With Gratitude, which helps companies create happy workplaces by having gratitude as a core value. In addition to delivering his message of gratitude around the world, Scott promotes the power of thank you notes, leads gratitude adventures in the wilderness, authored a book called The Grateful Entrepreneur, and developed The Grateful Deck, a card game consisting of questions that spark meaningful conversations. Welcome to the show today. We're grateful for you.
Well, thank you, Cornelia. I'm grateful to be here. And we're going to have a meaningful conversation right now. I do have a cat on my lap. Her name is Mia. She's 19. She may pop in view, so we never know.
That's wonderful. I'm so glad you're here. So take us back to that experience that you had when you were in Guatemala.
Sure. So the first day I was there was July 10th, 2014. It was in a community called Chinookste in Guatemala. And I was riding a bus with 25 other volunteers. And as the school bus pulled up to the site that we were going to be building a school, I looked out the window of the bus and I was completely shocked by what I saw. What I saw was what it looked like the entire community had come out to greet us. And there was people of all ages. It was kids. There were parents. There were grandparents. And I was blown away by that. I had signed up for this volunteer trip with an organization called Hug It Forward. Mm-hmm. Hug It Forward builds schools in poor communities like Chinookste. They build classrooms out of plastic bottles. It's a really cool process, Cornelia. They will collect as a community about 10,000 plastic bottles and then stuff each bottle with inorganic trash until it becomes solid like a brick. And they call those eco bricks. And it takes about 10,000 of these eco bricks to build three classrooms. So this community, Chonokste, reached out to Hug It Forward and said, we need help. Our school is running down, and we just need more space to educate the kids of the community. And so Hug It Forward said, okay, let's collect 10,000 plastic bottles, stuff them with trash. Then the next part of the process is to put up chicken wire and then to put these eco bricks along in the chicken wire. And that forms the basis of the walls of the classroom. Then they put cement over the walls and then they paint it. And that's a new classroom that is sustainable, built with eco bricks. So the cool thing about the building the classroom this way is they're helping the educational system while at the same time helping the environmental issue. So back to my bus ride, it pulled up to the community where we were going to be building the new classrooms. As I and the other volunteers stepped out of the bus, the community, the people that were there had formed two lines. And we walked in between these two lines. And I'm telling you, I felt like I was walking down the red carpet, like I was a famous rock star. They were playing music out of the loudspeaker. Some of the people there in the community were waving the American flag. They smiled, they hugged us, they loved on us immediately. And I thought to myself, how do I feel such an outpouring of love and support in this strange community that I've never been in? When in reality, I was over 2,000 miles from my own home community in Denver at the time, which is where I lived. And it was just a contrast about the welcome, the love and the welcoming of this community versus where I live in the States. And so looking back on it, I thought, gosh, you know what it was? It was gratitude. They were just so grateful for the volunteers who would come out to greet us that it didn't matter that we were strangers. They were just ready to embrace us. During my time there, I was there for about a week. During my time there, I realized how little this community really had. They don't have the technology like internet and cell phones that we take for granted. They sometimes live in poor living conditions. A family of 10 might live in a single room home, sleeping on the floor. Very little water, very little food. But what they did have were smiles. And like I said, gratitude and connection. Because they weren't always on their technology, I realized they relied on each other and they had that community and connection feel to it. So when I got back to the States, it really made me think about my own life and gosh, I complain about the little things. So do many other people around me. We're complaining about the things that we don't have instead of embracing what we do have. And the other thing I realized, which I knew beforehand, but I just became more sensitive to it when I got back, our heads are buried in screens, in technology. We're not making eye contact when we pass people on the street or on the sidewalk or even in the store. We're looking down, checking our email, and we're not very present with each other. So my two big takeaways there and why I started Say It With Gratitude, my brand, were one, how can we get back to connecting with people on a human level? Loneliness is on the rise. Social anxiety is on the rise. Maybe there's a way we can connect with each other more and then be more grateful. We're kind of, it's a lost art to do things like write handwritten notes. And so, yeah, those were just kind of eye-opening for me during my trip to Guatemala and something I've taken away ever since and trying to improve my life and other people's lives.
Well, and I bet you've made a lot of people grateful to have met you and be presented these fabulous, very simple techniques and opportunities to remember our true nature, come back to our true nature. I feel like when I was listening to you, I feel like we're spoiled.
I feel like
we're spoiled, and that's why we're behaving the way that we're behaving, because we had so many things. We've had so many things, and the people in Guatemala didn't. And so they just all of a sudden, you know, they're very vulnerable. They're very open. They don't have a lot. And when they're being presented with gifts and some volunteers and whatever, they're just like, wow, this is like the greatest thing in the world. And you're probably you know, the greatest person in the world to help them. So I just think this is wonderful. Now, that trip to Guatemala changed your life. What were you doing beforehand?
So I was a health and fitness professional, so helping people just change their wellness, change their physique. But I realized, I think probably more when I got back from Guatemala, that to change our habits, and that's what I was trying to do as a health coach, really a lot of it is mindset. If you think about it, if we, you know, we're thinking about excess weight, or, you know, hey, I can't have this if I'm trying to lose weight, and we're still focused on the things that we can't have. So gratitude can actually play a role in helping you shift your mindset so that you can get the health that you desire. And something I really emphasize, Cornelia, is self-care. Self-care, which can look like a lot of different things. It can look like gratitude on a daily basis, or meditation, or exercise. A lot of people think it's selfish to work on ourselves because we're busy wanting to help other people, which is great if we're a parent, if we're a busy professional. But to be our best parent or a best professional in the workplace, we got to be at our peak levels. And the only way to do that is to take care of ourselves first. And then we can pour out to other people from a full cup.
Right. We have to give from our overflow rather than giving from a depleted state, which is where we have been. Because exactly. We've always been giving to the neighbor first and then leaving ourselves out of the equation and then burning out and being completely resentful and all the other things. So that's beautiful. So you're focusing on self-care. The other thing that you mentioned in the green room earlier is that you also do, you know, that you lead groups and you lead hiking groups where people can connect with you and you guys come together in gratitude. And that's the connection point. And then you go hiking together. So how can people learn more about that? Because I think that's a really good thing. And I bet, you know, there's like so many groups, like even younger kids or like teenage kids or, you know, groups that would love to connect with you. So tell us about that and tell us about your social media handles.
Thank you. So I'm a big believer in getting off of technology and out into nature. That's one of my true passions. And because kids and adults alike are addicted, for lack of a better word. I know I am. I've got my phone with me all the time. For teenagers and young adults who grew up with technology, they don't know anything different. So when you are out in nature and when you're away from screens, you can really just be present and be grateful for the people that you're with or the beauty around you. So I've got a website, actually, gratitudehikes.com, which people can go and look more into that. My social media handles are Scott Colby. So Facebook, I'm at Scott Colby, and Instagram at Scott Colby as well.
So good. So give us a call to action. We have a minute left. Give us a call to action on what you want us to do.
Okay. I would love everybody to think about one person in their lives that they're grateful for, that they want to express appreciation to. It could be anybody, a family member, a coworker, a coach. And do this. This has become a lost art. Take out a piece of paper or a card and a pen and write what you like about this person. A handwritten note. We're so busy communicating digitally that we've forgotten the lost art of writing a handwritten note. That can serve as a way to appreciate the other person, and they're going to really feel it, and it's going to connect you to them. So you have a great connection point. You will feel good going and doing this exercise. So writing a handwritten note to somebody important in your life and sharing what you appreciate about them.
I think that's a great way to start. The reason why I was going to ask you earlier, we don't have much time left, but I just want to end with this by saying, you know, like a lot of times when people sit down with their journal in the morning, I'm grateful for food, I'm grateful for water, I'm grateful. And that's so mental, right? It's like, but what you're asking us to do is really the connection point, and it takes you deeper and it takes you more intimate and really moves you into a different direction, and it's something you could do every day. So I appreciate you, Scott. Thank you so much. I appreciate you. Thank you for coming on the show today and inspiring us with your beautiful story and also with what you're doing out in the world to bring people back to their true nature. Thank you so much.
Thank you, Cornelia. Really appreciate you as well.
Thank you so much. We're going to take a break and we'll be right back. Hey, everyone. Come check out this new app I'm featured in. You're going to look for KS Media Group app in the App Store. Download it. Launch and create your free account. Get the free ebook. You're going to find me under directories. Click on resources of the world's best influencers. Find me at the top of the list and take advantage of evolving your daily practice, cultivating deep inner peace, growing in love with my YouTube channel, and all the ways that you can connect with me now on social media and other ways as well. There's also a long list of live podcasts there that are listed under the directories to help you to live your best life now. Go and hurry. Get the KS Media app. Go to the App Store and download it now.
Do you feel like love is just taking you for a ride? If you struggle to find yourself in a fulfilling romantic relationship, join me, Love Coach Mariah, in my show, Becoming Secure in Love, From Push and Pull to Peace of Mind, every second and fourth Wednesday at 6 p.m. Pacific on TransformationTalkRadio.com. Discover the joy of being loved as your true, authentic self. Visit LoveCoachMariah.com for more. That's LoveCoachMariya.com.
Tune into the Dr. Diane Show, where we explore revolutionary expansion of mind, body, and soul every Thursday at 8 a.m. Pacific, 11 a.m. Eastern on TransformationTalkRadio.com. I bring over 20 years of expertise as a mindset warrior, perspective shifter, and unshakable optimist dedicated to helping you reach your wildest dreams in business, health, performance, and relationships. Join the discussion on the show. Learn more about me, Dr. Diane, and receive a free digital copy of my magazine at naturalnutmeg.com.
Welcome back, everyone. I'm so excited to introduce us to our next guest, and that is Ashley Carlotta.
Hi.
Hi, Ashley. How are you?
I'm so good. You doing okay?
Yes, I'm doing very good. Thank you. I want to be able to let the audience know, the ladies are really going to love hearing this first line, that you are married to a wonderful patient man. Hello. Hello. whom you've known since middle school, and you have three kids together. And even when you were young, like, you know, your body image issues began in kindergarten at age six, you did start gaining confidence in middle school through dancing, your passion at the time, but you always compared your body to others a lot. You were also diagnosed at the age of 16 with rheumatoid arthritis, an autoimmune disease, and food was a coping mechanism for you. So that must have been very, very difficult at that young age. And take us back to that time and where you are today.
Absolutely. So I grew up dancing. That was like my thing. So when my rheumatologist told me that I wasn't going to be able to do these certain moves anymore, or even like go out for a jog or go skiing, being like a 16-year-old, that's like, that was awful for me to have to put, you know, limits on my athletic ability and stuff. But not only that, I was given like this diet or these foods that I was supposed to eat to try to heal and just make it so that I wasn't inflamed as much anymore. But I mean, I had just gotten my license. Like, what do kids do after school? They go through the drive-through and all the things. So I was not very disciplined. I would like hide it from my parents and stuff too. But I knew that if I wasn't like obese by any means, but I knew that if I would have gotten control of my health in some way to be able to lose those 20 pounds that I was holding on to, it would have helped the arthritis significantly and just taking stuff off the joints and stuff.
Yeah. So basically, as a young woman, then how did you then you started when you started realizing that, okay, I really need to make the changes because all the stress that it was putting on your body, the inflammation that was happening, and then you realized, you know, then you got pregnant and you had kids and all the things, and then you realized that you really, your health is at risk here, and that you really need to change something. But when food becomes the coping mechanism to what many people will be able to relate to this, you know, food as comfort, when we eat to feel better, when we eat because there's too many stresses in life, or we're being rejected, or who knows what it is, you know, it could be anything. So how did you go from, you know, that to healing your healing that?
Sure. So after I had my second child, with my first child, I had gained 50 pounds. I didn't lose it all. And then I got pregnant again and I had my daughter, and I just, something clicked in me where I was like, enough is enough. I want to figure this out once and for all. I want to get this under control. I want to stop waiting to start on Monday again and to start a new diet, a restrictive diet, because I had done that so many times throughout my teens, my 20s. I knew what I could do to lose weight quickly, but I didn't know how to make it like a sustainable part of my life. So as an accountability coach, I'm huge, all about accountability. I just came alongside a couple of my good friends who I knew were living this sustainable, healthy life, especially some of my new mom friends, you know, that I had, they were new to me, but I started jogging with them slowly, but surely, like longer distances. I signed up for a 5K, and then I signed up for a 10K. And then I was like, that's enough running for me. No, I wasn't trying to go past that. And I just would ask them, like, what are you eating? You know, and I started tracking in my Fitness Pal.
Oh, yeah.
And it was so much more than just calories this time, because in the past I had been, okay, I can have this many calories. So that means I can have two Slim Fasts and some pizza, right? And like that was, I was not fueling my body. So this time I was adding in more water. I was adding in more vegetables and taking small steps until finally, slowly, I'm telling you, it was a slow process, but I got down to my goal weight range. I always say, give yourself about 5 pounds or so for the first time in my life. I felt like I had finally found freedom from emotional eating. And I wasn't scared anymore if I had a girls' night or a date night when I was on my diet, because there was no finish line to this. I was going to figure this out. And I would still allow myself to have a piece of cake at a birthday party, have a glass of wine with my friends. And it wasn't going to derail me to where, oh, I messed up. So now I might as well just keep messing up until next Monday again. So just working on that mindset and journaling on the days that I had a bad day, either that night or the next morning, like, okay, what was going on? And I could almost always recognize, like, okay, I was feeling sad about something, or I was feeling really stressed at work, so I didn't want to make the dinner that I had planned, and so we ordered Taco Bell instead, you know, as an example. And after I had my third baby, I couldn't find the motivation to do it again. Like, I knew exactly what I needed to do, but like, again, Monday kept coming and stuff like that. So what I did is I created an Instagram account for my weight loss journey, which I never thought I would do in my whole life. But that held me accountable to do it, because I knew exactly what to do. And then people started asking me, well, what program are you doing? You know, like what diet are you doing? And I was like, no, you don't understand. Like, I'm not following a diet. I'm just eating healthy. I'm fueling my body with good food. I'm continuing to exercise. I'm drinking my water. I'm trying to go to sleep at a certain amount of time. So I started coaching people very slowly. It started out with like just some friends and stuff, but it became a business. And here is Better Health by Accountability. And I just believe that consistency is key to reaching any one of your goals. You're not going to ever be perfect, but if you are determined and you have good people around you and your community and people to talk to and support, you can totally do it.
I just love this story. I love how, you know, this business just organically was created through your challenges. And so, like, what I want to ask you, two questions I want to ask you. One is your husband. One of the things about your husband, because he's a patient loving man, and so he was your greatest support system, so that even when you were gaining weight, that he was loving you.
Yeah. Yeah. I have never felt like he didn't love the way that I looked. I know both of us have made little jokes, grabbed the little pinch right here and stuff like that. But I can say that he undoubtedly like loves me no matter what weight size I am, but he knows that I'm happier when I am a certain size, not only just because of the size, but just because I feel better and I feel more in control. And so that's when he would get on me and be like, well, just do it then. Like, if you're going to do it, then do it, you know? But I'm telling you, your spouse, for the most part, cannot be your accountability buddy, because how many times have I said, okay, don't let me have any ice cream this week, like no ice cream, whatever, or no wine this week. I'm not drinking wine this week. And then as soon as like it's Thursday and you're like, okay, I think I'm going to have a little bit. And then they're like giving you that eye and you're like, don't look at me. It needs to be somebody else.
Yeah, totally. Because it's hard for them to say no to you. It's hard for them to hold back and say no to you because they want to give you the world. They want to give you everything. And so they don't want to say no to you. So the next question for you is, did you heal your autoimmune disease?
Yeah. Yes. I believe it was through not only nutrition and finally like doing it instead of just making excuses about it, but I also believe that it was prayer as well. And when my mom said that to my rheumatologist, but I mean, it was in my 20s at the time, she was like, honestly, like, we've been praying and all the things. And I do believe that partially this is like a miracle, but also paired with, you know, healing your body and feeling it the right way. But I do believe that in both of those things, and again, having support and the knowledge, because we have the ability to look to see what's the best way to eat, especially when you have an autoimmune disease. And I just spoke to somebody yesterday. I'm going to help her, like, I'm going to hold her accountable to eat her elimination diet so she can kind of start feeling better, you know, things like that. It totally helps. And does getting rid of gluten always help? No, not necessarily. Getting rid of dairy, does that always help? No. But I do think that it's worth trying certain things to see if you can feel better.
Bottom line is, you had a toxic relationship with food. And so that had to be all, you know, rearranged. Yeah. It had to be healed, which your body, the immune disorder, was just speaking to you, saying, hey, pay attention to what you're putting in me and how you're thinking about it and how you're feeling about it. So I'm so happy for you.
Thank you. That you healed yourself,
that you healed the toxic relationship, and that you took charge over your eating instead of your eating taking charge over you.
Yeah.
So, right. That's a big difference. So well done you. Congratulations.
Thank you.
And I love all the people that you're helping, the women. So let everybody know how they can find you on social media, on your Instagram, wherever.
Yeah.
You go. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. I hang out mostly on Instagram at Better Health by Accountability. I have a team of coaches. And then we also will show like what we're eating and our exercise, and we're motivating you and encouraging you. But if you're interested in coaching, you can go to betterhealthbyaccountability.com and fill out the contact form there. And I have a freebie for you on there with some good stuff about how to lose weight without dieting. So go grab that.
That's fabulous. This is so good. This is so good. I mean, there's so much to what you shared today. So many golden nuggets on how you can begin to really change the relationship that you had with food that wasn't good, and then even turning it into a business. So
yeah,
that's wonderful. Well, thank you so much, Ashley. It was wonderful to have you on the show.
Thank you. Have a wonderful day, and Anybody who's listening, you can take one step towards bettering your health today. You don't have to wait till tomorrow. Do it today.
You don't have to wait till Monday. Do it now.
Yeah.
So there it is. Okay, everybody, we're going to take a break. We'll be right back. Everyone, come check out this new app I'm featured in. You're going to look for KS Media Group app in the App Store. Download it, launch and create your free account. Get the free ebook. You're going to find me under directories. Click on resources of the world's best influencers. Find me at the top of the list and take advantage of evolving your daily practice, cultivating deep inner peace, growing in love with my YouTube channel, and all the ways that you can connect with me now on social media and other ways as well. There's also a long list of live podcasts there that are listed under the directories to help you to live your best life now. Go and hurry. Get the KS Media app. Go to the App Store and download it now.
Tune in to the Be Happy Now show with me, Claudia Sam. Flex your soul connection muscle and be your inner guide to fulfillment. Every Thursday on TransformationTalkRadio.com. You are here for a bigger reason and are worthy of accessing it. Experience happiness now. Tune in to your intuition and connect with me. Visit ClaudiaSamCoaching.com.
You're listening to Transformation Talk Radio.
Welcome back, everyone, to the Cornelia Stephanie Show. I'm so grateful. I'm just feeling so grateful. All the juicy guests that we have that are sharing incredible stories. My next guest today is Tierra Faust. She is the author of Strain, a collection of pandemic poems. When she's not writing, she's working on her front-end web developer dreams. She has written for nonprofits, startups, and people who want to make the world a better place since 2016. Tierra is currently at Rivet School Fellow, attaining her bachelor's degree in business management from Southern New Hampshire University with an anticipated graduation date of May 2024. Well, welcome to the show today.
Thank you, Cornelia.
It's so awesome to have you. So tell us about what inspired you to, put together your collection of poems, pandemic poems, and talk to us about why you called it Strain.
Yeah. So when I was a little kid growing up, I always knew I would be an author. I always knew that writing was my calling. I learned how to read when I was around three. My mom wanted me mostly out of her hair, out of her way, but also wanted to open up the world of the fine arts to me. So growing up, I played instruments and I wrote and I sang and I did anything and everything that allowed me to express myself artistically. And so throughout the pandemic, I knew I needed to return to that. I had been working as a copywriter since 2016, and I hadn't been putting that much time into following my own dreams and like trying to secure my own path in life. So when the pandemic hit, I knew that it was a time for people to invite change into their life and to invite acceptance into their life. And I struggled with that. And I figured other people might be struggling as well. Mm-hmm. And so I wrote Strain just to get some of it out of me, some of the feelings I've been feeling, some of the like vision that I'd had for what our future could be after the pandemic. And the way the book is structured is to include a little bit of my writing and a little bit of imagery from well-known works of art. And yeah, I really enjoyed it. And I published it in January.
Congratulations. That's awesome. I know it's not. So did you self-publish or?
I did. I self-published through Amazon Kindle Publishing.
Good, good. So that's where people can get it. It's called Strain on Amazon. People can get it there. So it's not easy to self-publish. meaning that, you know, you're accountable. You have to be accountable to finish the book, to get it all done. Because if you're not the one that's doing it, there's not, you know, the press people or the publishing people that are pushing you and going, hey, get this done. Hey, get this done. You have to really want to get it done. And you did that. So that's a huge milestone, huge success already to do that, because I'm an author myself and I know how hard it was for me to finish my book. So not easy to do. So congratulations.
Thank you.
Your web development business, tell us about that.
That began recently this year. As much as I enjoy writing, I've always had a passion for just the art of creation, I should say it that way. If there's a way for me to make something or create something new, whether it's a product for Etsy or to do this with you, working on a podcast. And so with writing Shrain, I realized that I have the potential to do whatever I choose to do. I'm capable of whatever I put effort into. So after I wrote Shrain, I was like feeling confident still in my abilities, but I wanted a new challenge. And I remembered like all the fun I'd had growing up writing. All of my writing takes place on a computer anyway, so I'm a pretty good typist. And I gotten into coding and I was like, it's just time to transition into something new. I've always been a fan of having like multiple streams of income, having multiple odd jobs and never been tied down to like one source of income. And so that's when I decided to start incorporating front end development back into my life. And as you had mentioned before, when you were going over my biography, I am interested in always helping others and working with nonprofits and startups. So I most recently started with Global Citizen Circle. Sorry, I wanted to like word it properly. Global Citizen Circle is a nonprofit that focuses on intersectional justice through conversations, through facilitating circles with members of the community and people from a wide socioeconomic range, just having that conversation to connect with each other. And so for them, I'll be creating front-end development work. I'll be able to add that to my portfolio. I'll be adding a donation page to their website, and I'll just be creating all kinds of good stuff for the web.
That's awesome. That's awesome. So you have to really, you know, in order to do coding, you have to really like it, you know. Yeah. So you have to really like it. So that's awesome that you like it and that you stretch yourself. And it looks like, you know, you're writing. Now you're already, you know, a fan of having multiple streams of income, which means that, you know, you want to make sure that you've got the resources that you need in order to be able to do what it is that you want to do. And so the web development, let me ask you this, is it WordPress? Is it, what is it? Is it?
I predominantly like to use Weebly. It's just a really nice platform. It's really easy. It's like very modular to be able to click and drag things. But when I do, how should I say this? When I'm actually writing code, I'll use any word processor. I'll use Notepad if I need to, just to get the HTML started for the website. I also like using REPL, REPL.IT. There are a lot of, you know, maybe you don't know actually, but when you're working with code, it's easy to source code from the internet, but it's not necessarily always easy to implement that code into your project. And so having those different workspaces, having the ability to use an IDE, like REPL it. So many different words I'm trying to throw in here and make sure I'm explaining them correctly. Because like I said, it's pretty new for me to do this like for pay. It's been easy to do as a hobby, but having that platform to practice in before I put it on a website has been integral to my process.
That's so good. You know, I'm going to definitely keep you in mind because, you know, we have a whole group of entrepreneurs, professional, small business consultants from around the world. And everybody's always looking to update their website or create a membership.
Oh, thank you.
There's always, I'll keep that in mind and remember that. I do want to ask you about your business management graduation. So you're taking a certification, you're graduating in business management. And because you're a businesswoman, you like business.
Yeah, I love it. Yeah, I feel like the only way for me to thrive as a person, because I'm neurodivergent, I struggle with maintaining like just the standard run-of-the-mill job. And so it's always made more sense to me to work for myself with other people. And I wanted to be able to showcase to people that I have these credentials, that I'm capable of the things I say I'm capable of. And so to me, getting a bachelor's degree will just make that process real, make it an actual thing that I can, an artifact that I can showcase to people in my portfolio. I'm hoping to graduate from Southern New Hampshire University in 2024, May, with my business management degree. And I'm currently also in the healthcare administration program because of COVID strain. The title was because of the strain that the pandemic was putting on my life, the strain that we were all experiencing globally. And also because I'm in the West Coast, the strains of marijuana that I enjoyed using to help me manage the experiences I was having out here. Like, I really do believe that medicinal herbs are the way. So I took that information and I was just trying to find different ways to showcase it.
Well, I just think you're on fire. I just want to say, you know, well done you. I'm so inspired by you because you really look young.
Thank
you.
So
I'm sure people tell you that all the time. They're probably going to card you or whatever.
I'm working on it.
Yeah, right?
People, aging with grace, yeah.
Yeah, you look amazing. And thank so you. I think it's wonderful that you're so motivated and so inspired to really create your life based on the foundation that you want to live. So I want to make sure that the audience that is listening to you and inspired by you today, that they have your social media handles and can look you up. So let us know what they are.
Okay, yeah. So if you want to find me on social media, you can find me on almost any platform under @Tierra, T-I-E-R-R-A, _writing, like you're writing a letter. You can also find me primarily on LinkedIn. You can just type in my name, Tierra C. Faust-Watkins, or Tierra C. Faust, F-O-U-S-E. Lastly, you can find all these social media links on my website, which is www.tierrawriting.weebly.com. And also on my Weebly, you can find a link to my book, Strain. If you're interested in learning more about how I got involved in this industry of writing, how I got into all these different like seven streams of income and all that type of stuff, there's more information on the website. And anyone can contact me at any time. I'm pretty friendly, I like to think, pretty outgoing. So you can just contact me.
That's so awesome. Definitely feel your friendliness too. We definitely have to connect on LinkedIn, you and I.
Yes.
So let's
yes.
make sure that we do that. And I want to thank you so much, Tierra, for coming on today and sharing your brilliance with the world.
Thank you for giving me the opportunity to. Thank you. I really appreciate it.
Oh, it's my pleasure. It's my pleasure. Well, we want to thank you so much, audience, for listening and tuning in today to the show. We appreciate you so much. Thank you. And we'll see you again next time.
You've been listening to The Cornelia Stephanie Show, Wake Up to Love, your call to action. Tune in each week on Transformation Talk Radio. Cornelia's joy is to engage others in practical ways, showing us how to live in the new earth in harmony with our true nature. For more information on Cornelia and her extraordinary work, or to listen to past shows, go to her website at corneliastephanie.com.
Views expressed on this program are those of the host, guests, and callers, and do not necessarily reflect the views of the station, its management, or advertisers. You're listening to Transformation Talk Radio.